Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inshallah, today we have an exclusive one day event about the current context that we live in today. As we have seen on the news for the last 6-7 months, constantly within the Muslim world there has been people rising up and accounting their rulers. We have seen demonstrations taking place from all the way from Morocco to Jordan and also even to Pakistan and Indonesia. And we have also seen the ramifications of some of these demonstrations, some of which has resulted in many people, many hundreds of lives being killed, being lost. Many people, many thousands who have been arrested, many people who have been brutalized. And so it's based upon this context that we live in today that we thought it was best that we try to address some of these key issues from an Islamic point of view. And that's why we have organized this one-day fiqh course to look at the rules and regulations in regards to accounting the rulers. And one thing that needs to be mentioned very clearly is that when we study Islamic fiqh, when we study Islamic law, it's not something which is academic. We study it, we learn something, and then we go away to the rest of our lives. Rather, the nature of the Islamic Sharia, the nature of the Islamic law, is that it's there to solve problems. It's there to try and solve how we deal with difficult situations. We therefore look to the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to try and look how to solve the various issues, and particularly how to look at the issues today in regards to the rulers. Inshallah, today, we have broken the section up into 6 main different sections. The first one, which we'll have, is by Brother Safrukh Chowdhury, and he'll be discussing the conditions and excellence of commanding the good and forbidding the evil. After which, we'll also have another session by Muhammad Ali on the conditions of the ruler. And then we'll have a break, a lunch break, for about 40 minutes or so. We are unable to cater inside here, but there is a catering van that will be coming out where you can actually buy and purchase your lunch there. And then after that, we'll have 2 more sessions. One on the accountability in the Islamic system, and also number 4, illegitimacy of the current rulers. The third session will be done by Yahya Abu Yusuf, and the 4th session will be done by Kamal Abu Dahra. We'll then have a 20-minute break. Where we'll have tea and coffee supplied in the breakout room, which the organizer will show you where that is. And then in our final session, we will have the discussion on the method to account and change the rulers today, which will be done by Abu Luqman. And that'll be followed by a Q&A. So inshallah, I'm sure you'll have many questions throughout the sessions. So please hold those questions or write them down. And then towards the end of the session, inshallah, you can ask the panel of speakers that we have today. Just one final point, or a few points in short just to mention. Anyone who hasn't registered yet and still needs to register, inshallah, afterwards during the lunch period, if you can just go to the front desk and register with the brothers there, inshallah. So inshallah, what I'll do is I will now pass it over to our first speaker, who's Brother Safrukh Chowdhury. who has studied 2 years at Al-Azhar and has spent a number of years as well teaching Arabic and teaching Islamic fiqh. He's currently a lecturer at SOAS University, where he's currently conducting his PhD. So inshallah, I will pass it over to Brother Sam.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على شفع الأنبياء سيد المرسلين نبينا حبيبنا شفيعنا قرة أعيننا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحابته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، يقول مولانا عز وجل في القرآن الكريم بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Brothers and sisters, first and foremost, all hamd, all praise and shukr go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sovereign Lord of this universe. Countless blessings and salutations be upon his beloved, our beloved, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his pure family, all the noble companions and all those who follow them until the last day. Alhamdulillah, we are of course, inshaAllah, going to see the first fast of the Shahr al-Kareem, Shahr al-Mubarak Ramadan, inshaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our gathering here, to reward all those who have organized it, made it possible and have attended and will attend. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So just to, we ask Allah for shukr. Imam Ibn Hajar, he says in Fath al-Bari that one of the ways of giving shukr to Allah, wa min shukrihi, one of the ways of giving thanks to Allah, is imtithalu awamirihi wa ijtinabu nawahi. One of the ways of giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to follow his commands, all of them, and to leave any command of prohibition. So one of the ways of showing thankfulness and gratitude is to follow the laws of Allah and to in its entirety and completely, and to stay away from any of the prohibition. So we ask Allah to give us the tawfiq on that. But just for the topic today, I'm going to try and navigate this computer. I'm not really computer friendly, but I'm going to try. If it blows up, I apologize. It happened before. But anyway, some of the lecture handouts may not be updated, but inshallah at the end, or after the session, we can make these handouts available. I don't think anyone's got the PowerPoint, but the first handout I think most people do have. Now, I've been sort of assigned the topic of a subject area that is vast. Now, Imam Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, he devoted a whole book in the Ihya Ulumuddin related to this topic of al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy 'an al-munkar, the commanding right and forbidding wrong. And this book is probably the paradigm work in the classical period on this issue. And all authors subsequently pretty much built on Ghazali's work. Some added extra parts, their own interpretations, their own ijtihad, and so on. But this book is the seminal work in the field. So anyone who has access to that source should try and consult it. And it's a wonderful book, it's a masterpiece. It's thorough, it's detailed. And as I said, the ulama subsequently used that as their starting point when discussing this issue. Now, it goes without saying, I'll not be able to touch on all the areas, but I just want to touch on a few. And they are the following points. The fadila, the excellence or the merits related to commanding right, forbidding wrong. Then I want to very briefly touch on the duty it is for this ummah, for us, to be engaged in this duty. It is not an optional act. It is a duty from Allah, and we're going to briefly explore that. Then we'll look at the ayah of how Allah Jalla wa Ala honoured us with this duty. That Allah honoured us with this duty of amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy 'an munkar, and we'll look at some of the aqwal al-ulama on this issue, the statements of the scholars on this issue. Then we'll go into the constituents of the elements, the basic parts of commanding right, forbidding wrong. And then I want to touch on just a brief misconception amongst Muslims about commanding right, forbidding wrong, and how many people think it's just about morals. And it's just about telling someone you should pray, you should fast, that's about it. Well, actually, the ulama said it's more comprehensive than that. In fact, it's actually political. And how the work of the Islamic State is Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahi an Munkar. Inshallah, we'll look at some of the statements of the Mufassirun on that. So, just on to the excellence of the actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيِّ الَّذِينَ يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Allah says there in the Quran that the actions of the Prophet, this immaculate, unlettered Prophet, that's found in the previous scriptures, but denied by those who used to follow the scriptures, his primary act was يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. That his main duty was to call, command the right, call to the good, forbid the wrong, prevent the harm. And what Allah says in those, الَّذِينَ those who يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ, those who follow the Prophet in this أَمَلْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهِيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, right at the end it says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. They are the ones who will be truly successful. So those who emulate the Prophet in commanding right and forbidding wrong, they will be the successful ones. Now whenever Allah links any command or action to a Prophet, it raises it in rank. Why? Can anyone guess as to why it raises it in rank? Can anyone guess as to why, when Allah links an action to the Anbiya, it gets raised in rank? The Anbiya are?
Because this is the action which God wants people to follow?
Yes, yes, you're right. That is the action God wants people to follow. But when it's linked to the Anbiya, who are the Anbiya? The best of mankind, that's right. They are the best of people. The human beings, but they're the best kind of human beings. They're not any old human being in the street. These are the people Allah communicated to. So whenever an action gets linked to the Anbiya, it raises it in sharaf, in honor. So as an ummah, or any ummah who's told to do an action of the Prophet, it raises it in rank. It raises it in rank. Because the Anbiya are the best of people, the best of God's creation, of Allah's creation. So this is the act of the Anbiya, all the Anbiya. Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahi an Munkar, commanding right, forbidding wrong, is the action of all the Prophets. It was also the duty, the command that Luqman alayhi salam gave to his son, where he says, Ya Bunayya, O my son. Very endearing term, Ya Bunayya. Yeah? Aqimu salah. Establish your prayer regularly. Then he says, وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and command the right and forbid the wrong. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزَمِ الْأُمُورِ. Command right, forbid wrong, have patience over what will afflict you. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزَمِ الْأُمُورِ. Another question. Look at the tarteeb in the ayah, look at the sequence in the ayah. Luqman alayhi salam says to his son, O my son, establish your prayer, command right, forbid wrong. Then have patience over what will afflict you. Why might he have mentioned patience after Amal bin Ma'ruf wa Nahi an Munkar? Brother.
It's a difficult job.
Okay, explain. Difficult job.
In doing good and forbidding evil requires patience because it's hard because the people may not always respond in the right way.
Ahsan, of course. Shukran, of course. When you're going to engage in the task of Amal bin Ma'ruf wa Nahi an Munkar, it's not a walk in the park. You're going to get people who are going to oppose you, attack you, slander you, malign you, even beat you up. Because you're calling them to a change. You're calling them to a change. You're telling them to leave their wrong ways, all of their wrong ways, and to come to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why he says, وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. My son, have patience over what will afflict you. Inevitably, when you're engaged in the da'wah of the Anbiya, you're going to be afflicted. By punishment even. إن ذلك من عزم الأمور. And this is one of those matters that require firm resolve, meaning you're going to have to be up to the task. You're going to have to be up to the task. Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he mentions الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر هو الذي أنزل الله به كتبه وأرسل به رسله وهو من الدين. He says the very reason why the prophets and all the messengers were sent, the very reason is to do one action. That is أمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. That is to forbid, command the right to forbid the wrong. Then he says وهو من الدين. That is the thing. That is the foundation of the religion. This is the foundation of the religion. And this is in his book, Al-Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahi an Munkar. I think it's been translated into English, and it's available in most bookshops. Imam Al-Ghazali, he says in the beginning of the Ihya, on the book of commanding right, forbidding wrong, at the beginning, he says, I'lam, know. He makes sure that you know carefully أن الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر هو القطب الأعظم. هو القطب الأعظم في الدين. This commanding right, forbidding wrong is the pivot of this religion, is the most important pillar of this religion. Then he says, والمهم الذي ابتعث الله له النبيين أجمعين. And this is the most important thing for which Allah sent and dispatched all of his prophets, عليهم السلام. لو طوي بساطه وأهمل علمه وعمله لتعطلت النبوة. If knowledge of this, practice of this, performance of this duty fades away, dwindles, disappears, لتعطلت النبوة, prophethood itself will become meaningless. If you take the fulcrum of something away, you've taken the legs away of that thing. If you take the pivot away of which something revolves around, that thing cannot revolve anymore. Similarly, the religion, you take Amr bin Ma'ruf away from it, that's it, you've lost your religion. لَتَعَطَّلَتَ النَّبُوَّةَ Even prophethood will become cancelled, meaningless. وَمَحَلَّةَ الدِّيَانَةَ And then, religion will start to disappear, fade away. وَعَمَّةَ الْفَطَرَةَ And then he says, and then, you know, chaos and dissension will be widespread. وَفَشَّةَ الضَّلَالَةَ Misguidance will start to spread. وَشَعَتَ الْجَهَالَةَ وَخَرَبَتَ الْبِلَادِ وَهَلَكَ الْعِبَادِ And he lists even more consequences of neglecting, not only neglecting this duty, abandoning this duty. So this is the duty of the prophets. This is the primary reason why Allah Jalla wa'ala sent the Anbiya alayhi wasalam. It is for this duty of al-amr bin ma'aruf wa nahi an munkar. So this is the magnitude of this duty. This is the high importance of this duty. So far then we have Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahi an Munkar is the paramount duty. It is the paramount duty. Qutb al-A'zam fi al-Deen, according to Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah. Commanding right, forbidding wrong was the duty of the previous prophets and the pious followers of those prophets. This was the actions of the best of people in the past, in the Ummah Musabiqah, in the previous nation. Commanding right, forbidding wrong is the very reason for sending prophets and messengers for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so on to us as an ummah. On to us as an ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ You! The ummah of my beloved, you have been raised up as the best people in mankind or humankind. You are the best nation, the best people raised up. Why? Allah then explains, تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ Some of the Mufassirun even said, look at the tartib. You are the best nation mentioned, risen up for mankind, raised for mankind by Allah. You command the right, you forbid the wrong, and you believe in Allah. Iman is put after amal. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ Shouldn't تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ be first? You are the best nation because you believe in Allah, and you command the right, and you forbid the wrong. But it's the other way around. This is تَقْدِيمُ الْعَمَلْ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ This is putting action ahead of iman. Not to say that you know, a non-believer can do amal bil ma'ruf and nahi 'anil munkar. No, it's to raise the importance of this act by putting it first. You are the best nation. You are characterized by ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar. You are characterized by commanding right and forbidding wrong. This is your primary characteristic, and you believe firmly in Allah. Imam al-Sawi, Ahmad al-Sawi, one of the famous Sufi shuyukh of Egypt, on his commentary and his hashiya on the Jalalain, Imam Jalaluddin al-Suyuti rahimahullah, and his grandfather Jalaluddin Mahalli did a tafsir, and it's called the tafsir of Jalalain, the tafsir of the two Jalals. And as an interlinear commentary, Imam al-Sawi did a commentary on the Jalalain called the Hashiyatu ala Jalalain. He says, هذه الأمة لها شبه بالأنبياء من حيث أنها مهتدية في نفسها هادية لغيرها. He says, this Ummah, the above verse that we just mentioned, this verse that we just read, proves or compares us as an Ummah. The Ummah of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa taslim. We are likened to the Anbiya. This Ummah is likened to the Anbiya. Because we do amal bil ma'ruf wa nahi 'anil munkar, not only are we guided, we also guide others. And that's what amal bil ma'ruf wa nahi 'anil munkar involves. Commanding right, forbidding wrong involves an active engagement. There is an agency involved in that action. Look at the sharaf we are given. Look at the sharaf of this ummah that Allah has given us. He's raised up as the best nation for all of humanity to carry out this task. To carry out this task. Again, that alerts us to the magnitude. It's not a light thing. It's not, oh, I don't have to worry about thing. This is serious. It is that by which we get sharaf from Allah. Our honor is raised. This action, because it links us to the Anbiya. We're given a likeness to the Anbiya in terms of action. That gives us a sharaf. Our ummah has been given sharaf because of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa taslim. Even prophets are going to be part of this ummah. Isa alayhi salam will be part of this ummah. Look at the sharaf. Look at the honor in this ummah. But the honor, with the honor comes the responsibility, the duty of carrying a commanding right for forbidding wrong. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warns us then about this duty. He says in a beautiful hadith, and all of them are beautiful, he says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ by in him in whose hand is my soul, referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ لَتَنْهَوُنَّ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You must command right and you must forbid wrong. You must. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send His stern chastisement, His stern punishment over you. Allah will send His stern punishment over you. If something is linked to a punishment, is this an indication of something good or bad? Is this a qarina for something good or bad? When something is linked to the sakhat, the ghadab, the anger, the wrath of Allah, is that something good? No. It's a qarina to say abandoning it, therefore is haram. Just like any action linked to shaitan, linked to jahannam, these are qara'in, these are indications that tell us something is unlawful, it's prohibited, you've got to stay away from it. So, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْسَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجِسٌ مِنْ أَعْمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ رِجِسٌ مِنْ أَعْمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. It is one of the dirty works of shaitan, gambling, usury, all these things. فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. Then that's the second qarina, stay well away from it. But رِجِسٌ مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ, that establishes it as being haram, definitively anyway. So anything linked to the punishment of Allah, anything linked to the punishment of Allah is something which we are not allowed to abandon. That means we have to do that action. So Rasulullah's stern warning. You can get these in the Kutub al-Fitan. If you open up the books of Hadith, you see there's Bab al-Fitan, trials and tribulations that will happen, These are mentioned in there. So this ummah, if it abandons commanding right, forbidding wrong, this is the punishment. Allah's stern punishment will be over them. Look at the beautiful statement of Imam al-Qurtubi in his tafsir. Look what he says. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala madha li hadhihi al-umma ma aqamu dhalika wa tasifu bih. That Allah has praised this ummah with the honor and the high status because they command right, forbid wrong. Ma aqamu dhalika wa tasifu bih. As long as Allah praises them, as long as they carry out commanding right and forbidding wrong, and they are characterized by it. Then he says, فَإِذَا تَرَكُوا التَّغْيِيرُ وَتَوَاطَوُوا عَلَى الْمُنْكَرُ زَالَ عَنْهُمْ إِسْمُ الْمَدْحِ. He says, if the ummah, look at the choice of his words, it's very interesting. التَّغْيِيرُ he uses, تَغْيِيرُ الْمُنْكَرُ. If the ummah stop or abandon changing, trying to change the munkar, trying to change the evil, the things that are against the Sharia, if the ummah stops doing this, he says, زَالَ عَنْهُمْ إِسْمُ الْمَدْحِ. This praise from Allah will be lifted from them, will be taken away from them. They will not be deserving of it. Then he says, وَلِحَقِّهِمْ إِسْمُ الذَّمِ. And they deserve to be blamed and chastised and censured and castigated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ سَبَبًا لِهَلَاكِهِمْ. And then he, rahimahullah, he says, this will be a cause of their ruin and destruction. If they abandon this duty, this will be a cause for their ruin and their destruction. But if they carry out the amr bil ma'ruf and nahi an munkar, so long as they do that, Allah will raise their honor, will maintain that izzah and honor, that sharaf, that high status, that connection, that idafa with the Anbiya, alayhim as-salam. So, but if we abandon it as an ummah, if we become lax in it, negligent, we are awaiting, asking for the sakhab and the ghadab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's in Zaljamil Ahkam al-Quran. You can take a look at that if you want. Thus, so far, we've got commanding right, forbidding wrong is a duty. We know that. This ummah has been honored with the actions of the Prophet. We as Ummah, as we said, have been blessed and honored to be given the instruction of emulating the Anbiya before us. What bigger honor and sharaf can there be? This Ummah has been characterized as the best Ummah. Allah has never characterized an Ummah like that. But He's characterized this Ummah as being the best of nations because we carry out Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahi Ani Munkar. To abandon the duty means Allah will punish us, disgrace us, and remove any hope of forgiveness or mercy from us. So it's a very, very serious matter. Okay, very, very quickly, the elements of commanding right, forbidding wrong. The paradigm verse that's used to understand the elements, the different aspects of commanding right, forbidding wrong, is the one in Ali Imran. Allah says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Allah says, and so let there be groups amongst you, from amongst you, i.e. Muslim, that invite to the khayr. They invite to the khayr, and they command the ma'ruf, and they forbid the munkar. They who engage in this action, they will be the successful ones, the prosperous ones. And just very, very quickly, I want to skate through it because I don't have much time. But it's on the handout anyway, all the different opinions I've listed of most of the classical scholars regarding what each of these terms mean. So khayr, if you look at the tafsir of Tabari, he says it refers to Islam wa shara'ihu, Islam and all of its symbols and laws. Al khayr, for many, means all of Islam, Deen Kullu, the whole religion. Some of them mention specific examples of Al-Khayr, like Tawheed, like Iman. If you look in the books of Tafsir, Al-Khayr refers to Islam. Al-Khayr refers to Islam. Then it says, those who command the Ma'ruf, that which is good, wholesome, valuable, and so on. But according to the Mufassirun, it means everything. كُلُّ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Everything commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكُلُّ مَا يُحَسِّنُ الشَّرْعُ. Or everything the Sharia considers to be good. So ma'roof is everything the Sharia considers to be good, or every command that Allah and His Messenger has brought. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And they forbid or prevent the munkar. The munkar is the opposite of ma'roof. So the ulama say the munkar is everything, كُلُّ مَا نَهَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ عَنْ. So everything Allah and His Messenger have prohibited against, or everything that is against the what the Sharia considers to be good, proper, right, and so on. كُلُّ مَا يُخَلِفُ الشَّرَعَ. Or so evil. قَبِيح. Things that are wrong and repugnant and evil. Yeah? So these are the basic constituents. Then you have the people who command good, forbid wrong. Now some of the ulama discussed, you know, who is it that should do the duty? Some of them said the whole ummah has to do it. No one is exempt from it. Some of them said no, women and children, the elderly, they're exempt from it because they can't engage in the duty. And there's a tafsir debate over this. But certain people are excluded just purely from the fact that they're not responsible before the law, like little children. So those men and women who are able and capable should or must engage in this duty of commanding right from the wrong. The issue of ummah, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ ummah. Here ummah doesn't mean a nation, as in like the ummah, us, in that sense. It doesn't mean a people, like a qawm. It actually means jama'ah or ahzab. If you look in the dictionaries, the lexicons, you see ummah here means, it can mean one person, it can mean a nation, it can mean a group of people, it can mean a people banded together, one idea. Hizb, a party. These are all in the classical lexicon. And you just open up and have a look and all the meanings are under there. And Zamakhshari has a very interesting analysis on that term as well. So let there be lots of groups in this ummah, because the word ummah here is not defined. It's ism nakira. For those of us perhaps are familiar with Arabic, it's an indefinite noun. It's not, it doesn't say what takum minkum al ummah. Let there rise from you the one and only group, the supreme group, or the supreme party. It says let there be groups. Let there be groups. Different groups, Muslim groups, parties, and so on. That call to the khair, call to Islam. وَيَأْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفُ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. There's an interesting point of balaghah here as well. If you look in the tafsir books, it says here, let there be groups from amongst you Muslims, yeah, not you, any old person, or any old nation, any old religion, from you Muslims, let there be groups that call or invite to the khair, invite to Islam. Then it says, and command good and forbid wrong. That is also part of Islam. But why, what's the repetition? Why mention call to Islam, but also call to the good and forbid the wrong? You're just repeating yourself, aren't you? What's the point of mentioning that? You said it, call to Islam, that's enough. No. Here, the scholars of tafsir say this is a عَطْفُ khas عَلَى الْعَمْ. This is mentioning the specific after the general. And in the Arabic language, when Allah, in the Quran, when Allah mentions something specific after mentioning something general, it means it's to alert you to the importance of that specific action. So in Surah Ar-Rahman, for example, Allah says, فِيهِمَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَنَخْلُ وَرُمَّانٌ. In the gardens are fruits. وَنَخْلُ وَرُمَّانٌ. And dates and pomegranates. He just said fruits, but why did he say dates and pomegranates? Because to emphasize the these are paradisal fruits. These are special fruits, the delights. So you mention a specific after mentioning a general. Allah mentions elsewhere in the Quran, he says the malaika, then he says wa Jibra'il wa Mika'il. And Jibra'il alayhi salam, Mika'il alayhi salam. After mentioning the angels, in order to raise their rank, in order to show that they're more special. they have a different rank with Allah, to raise their honor, to give them sharaf. So the action of amr bi ma'ruf wa nahi 'an munkar, its rank and importance is raised up by this balagha principle, this rhetorical principle used in the Quran. A'atful khass 'ala al-'amal, to mention the general of Islam, then the specific afterwards. And it's a beautiful way how Allah packs this all into this one verse. Okay, my last point before I sort of wrap up. Commanding right, forbidding wrong, and amr bin ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar is not just about morals. It's not about moral admonition. It's not about ethical exhortation. To tell people, look, brother, you've got to be a good person, sister, you've got to be a better person. And that is it. Amr bin ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar. That's it, you leave it that. You've got to become better people. You've got to start wearing the thawb. That's it. That's your amr bin ma'ruf nahi anil munkar. Brother, you know, you've got to do this. Better do that. Make sure you always have your misguided. Well, these are all sunan. But is that the extent, the scope of amr bin ma'ruf nahi anil munkar? No. That was not the classical understanding of this verse. Somehow now, we've reduced it to just moral preaching. Moral preaching. That's commanding right, forbidding wrong. Just tell you how to become better in your akhlaq. No. The amr bin ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar, as the scholars understood it, mufassirun and fuqaha, they understood it to be comprehensive, to encompass the political realm, the political sphere. One meaning, one understanding that is taken from is the actual meaning of amara and nahi. The actual meaning of the verbs amara wa naha. And in al-qamus al-muhit, the verb amara wa nahi is synonymous with political administration. Sasa yasusu. Sasa, the verb, yasusu. It also in the Hebrew actually means tethering horses as well, looking after horses. Tethering your horse. For Arabs, the horse was important. That was your minivan. That was your mode of transportation. That got you around everywhere. If your horse wasn't functioning, you're in trouble. Have a good steed, will get you around Arabia. So they should tether their horses, look after them. Don't know about now. But anyway, sustu ra'iyya siyasatan ay amartuha wa nahituha. The verb sustu ra'iyya. I administered the affairs of the people. I politically governed the people. This is the same as saying, A, it's the same as saying, يعني, أمرتها ونهيتها. I commanded them and I forbade them. This is in the Qamus al-Muhit. Ibn al-Arabi al-Maliki, the great Maliki Faqih, the Mufassir, al-Muhaddith, just about everything else, rahimahullah, he said, الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر الذي هو أصل الدين وخلافة المسلمين. Beautiful statement. He says, أمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. The command, the duty of commanding right, forbidding wrong, is the foundation of this religion and the foundation of the خلافة المسلمين. The خلافة, the Islamic state. Commanding right, forbidding wrong, is the foundation of this deen and the foundation of the Islamic state. This is in his Ahkam al-Qur'an. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, to return back to his statement, وَجَمِيعُ الْوِلَايَاتِ الْإِسْلَامِيَّةِ مَقْصُودُهَا الْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And the aim, the purpose, the maqsad of all the Islamic rulers, الْوِلَايَاتِ الْإِسْلَامِيَّةِ, the ruling provinces in Islam, مَقْصُودُهَا الْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. They got to fulfill this. It is a political thing. And the ulama also talk about what is subsumed under amr bin ma'ruf and nahi anil jihad and so on. We haven't got time to go through that. But that's just to alert your attention to a misconception that people have that commanding right, forbidding wrong is just a moral preaching. No, it's not. No. It's not just moral preaching. It's totalizing, it's encompassing. And these are the opinions of the classical scholars. They understood the concept as being comprehensive, that involves the political sphere. And in fact, it is the primary action of the state, of the Islamic state. So just to summarize, commanding right and forbidding wrong is not mere moral admonition or ethical exhortation, nor is it merely preaching one aspect of Islam. It is total in its scope. It's total in its scope. Commanding right and forbidding wrong is a political. Commanding right and forbidding wrong is the work of the Islamic state. So this is where I'll end it. Jazakumullah khairan, as-salatu jazaa, wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.